Pause for a big thank you to our partner making today's program possible. Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. Amazing. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, your exercise, and medication decisions. All those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and a lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Thanks, Dexcom, for being our partner.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Well, according to reports, there is a, quote, cover-up. The South Dakota Attorney General has been branded a, quote, coward, who is, quote, saving his own ass. What do you think? A man is dead. A man was mowed down on a public highway. I want answers. I don't care if he's the AG. I don't care if he's the King of England. We want answers.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Beaver's cousin Nick Nemec also identified the body.
It just seems like the whole process was just put on the back burner, and they could have got Victor up there a heck of a lot sooner to take a statement or identify a body or something.
Beaver's wife also has concerns.
How can you not see someone walking down the road? And for no sirens to go off around here is highly unusual, because anytime there's an accident or anything, why did my husband lie in a ditch for 22 hours? Why were no alarms sounded off over here when the accident happened? I mean, we have no answers yet. And right now I'm just raw and numb. I just lost the man of my life.
I guess she is raw and numb. Not only did he lie there in a ditch for 22 hours after being mowed down by the South Dakota Attorney General, the top cop of the state, just think about it. What if he was alive for 21 of those hours and could have been saved? His life saved, for Pete's sake. But it wasn't reported. And the victim in this case, Joe Beaver, in the prime of his life, is dead. Again, thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and SiriusXM 111. We're not letting go of this case. With me, an all-star panel, Sierra Gillespie, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, Dr. Catherine Maloney, Deputy Chief Medical Examiner, Erie County, that's in Buffalo, Greg Smith, Special Deputy Sheriff, Johnson County Sheriff's Office in Kansas, and the Executive Director of the Kelsey Smith Foundation at kelseysarmy.com. Dr. Debbie Jaffe Ellis, psychologist, adjunct professor, Columbia. You can find her at debbiejaffeellis.com. James Shelnut, 27 years, Metro Major case, including SWAT, now lawyer at shelnutlawfirm.com. Two special guests joining me now. Victor Nemec, the victim's brother, who was called to identify his brother's body. Nick Nemec, cousin of the victim and former state senator. Now, Nick Nemec, you're a big exception for me because I usually don't have politicians, former or current, on crimeonline.com or on Fox Nation. But in your case, I'm making a big exception because I think politics are deeply, deeply embedded in what's happening right now. So I'd like to welcome you to Crime Stories. I want to go first to Victor Nemec. This is Joe Beavers. Joe, if I might call him that.
Yes.
Brother.
Actually, I'm his cousin.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm mistaken.
Nick and I are brothers. We're both Joe's cousins.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting to me, Victor. I remember after my fiancé was murdered, I did not want to see his body. I did not want to see his body at the funeral. I did not want to identify his body.
Yeah.
At the time, I mean, as a young girl, I didn't want to do that. In retrospect, I'm glad I didn't, because that would be my memory. Tell me how it is. This is a cousin of Joe Beaver, Victor Nemec. You were called in to identify your cousin. How did that happen?
Well, throughout that day, that was a Sunday, I had been worried about my cousin because I knew there was a crash scene out on the highway by our little small town. And I had made plans the night before to stop at my cousin's house on Sunday, and we were going to take care of some work on his pickup. And he wasn't around, and I just had a bad feeling that the reason he wasn't at his house was because of the crash or accident scene that was out on the highway. And I had called our local sheriff and, you know, asking him some questions, and basically waited around all day. And I was...
Wait a minute, you called the sheriff and they didn't tell you anything?
No, they just told me to wait.
You know, I want to go to you, Greg Smith, Special Deputy Sheriff, Johnson County Sheriff. When you couldn't find Kelsey, your daughter, you knew immediately something was very wrong, didn't you?
Yes.
I wonder what it is, Greg. Maybe it's not as much of a hunch as I think it is. Maybe it's an instinct born of a million different pieces of data that we are assimilating within our minds and our bodies. But you're hearing Victor Nemec state, when his cousin wasn't there on Sunday, and where he should be, where he always is, they were going to work on the truck. Very wrong. That sounds like something you once told me.
Yeah, I mean, you know your loved ones, and those gut feelings you have usually are correct.
And also there's the matter of routine. James Shelnut, I don't mean like standard SOP. I mean, people have a routine. I get up at 5 every morning, I make a cup of hot tea, and I start working. And then at this time, I wake up the twins. At this time, I take them to school. At this time, I'm in the studio. That is habit. That is routine. And for Joe Beaver not to be at home when he's supposed to meet his cousin, that was very unlike him. That type of evidence, in my mind, is very powerful, Shelnut.
Oh, it's critical. One of the first things that an investigator wants to do in any case is get to know the victim. And a lot of that involves what was their routine. You're 100% correct.
Also with me is Nick Nemec, cousin of Joe Beaver, former state senator. Tell me about this AG, Jason Roundsburg. Tell me now, let's see, this is in South Dakota. I believe your capital would be Pierre, correct? It's Bismarck is North Dakota, is that correct?
Yep, Bismarck is North Dakota, South Dakota is Pierre. Roundsburg was elected in 2018. The way the Republican Party picks their AG nominee is at a state convention, and he had been an unsuccessful fourth-place candidate in the U.S. Senate primary a couple of years before, but he spent the next 2 years going to every Republican county meeting in the state schmoozing delegates to the state eventual state convention. And when he got there, they all knew him, and they nominated him for their attorney general candidate. He had very little experience as an attorney general. He had never tried a case in a courtroom.
What?
Whoa.
Let me get my head around that, because you know how much it burns me up, Nick and Victor, to have a judge up on the bench that's never tried a case, and it has happened. It happens a lot. And then they're telling me what's admissible and not admissible, and I got a top cop over a whole state that's never tried a case. Guys, as you can see, we're off on a tangent. That's my fault. I'm steering the car, and we're way out in the weeds. Let me get it back in the middle of the road. But just so you know, this is exactly how prosecutors, investigators, and I assume defense attorneys work on their cases. They get with a core group of people, and they talk about it, or their investigator in my case, and would say, well, what about this, and what about that, and who is this? It doesn't really go in any logical manner as you're feeling out what had happened.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. We are talking about the death of a man in the prime of his life, found after 22 hours in a ditch on a public road. How did that happen? You know what? Back in the middle of the road to you, Sierra Gillespie, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. What happened?
Okay, so if we back up to Saturday, September 12th of this year, it all happened at about 10:30 p.m., and that's when Attorney General Roundsburg was headed back to Pierre on U.S. Highway 14, east of Highmore, South Dakota. And this is really rural area. Like this, occasionally you'll pass like a farm or a house or, you know, things like that. But it's not like you're in town with like street lights or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty dark area, 10:30 at night. That's nighttime, you know, it's dark out. And he reports hitting a deer. He says that he hit a deer on that U.S. Highway 14, got out of his car, used what he had, his cell phone, when you turn on the flashlight on your cell phone, to kind of look around. He said he wasn't able to find anything, but did report to the sheriff's office that he hit a deer. And that's kind of where this all started.
Okay. I'm not saying you're wrong, Sierra Gillespie. You're reporting the facts as we have been told. Jackie, can you pull up the picture of the vehicle that you and I have been looking at? Because, you know, maybe I'm looking at the wrong car. Don't think I am. But, Victor?
Yeah.
Is it the AG Roundsburg's front windshield cracked?
It's got a hole in it.
Blow that up for me, please, Jack. Oh, yeah. It's big, and it's on the driver's side. Excuse me, the passenger side. There's a big hole. In other words, what I'm getting at, your cousin, Joe Beaver, hit the windshield.
Yes.
How can you not see that's a person?
Exactly.
I'll never forget. Once I hit a dog on the way home from work at Sears Roebuck, my first job, and I was going really slowly. I'd stop coming off the interstate, then turn left. I was going about 25 miles an hour, maybe, because I was just coming from a dead stop, and the dog, the owner, owned a gas station, and his dog ran out. I pulled over. I ran for help to that gas station, and they came and got their dog, and they told me he lived. I saw what it was. I remember once when a squirrel darted out in front of me. I knew it was a squirrel. Okay, guys, he hit the windshield. How is Roundsburg, Victor, saying he thought it was a deer?
I don't know. And also, I'd like to point out that while this is in a rural area, we're out on wide open prairies also, and an extremely visible highway. We're talking a straight line highway, 11 foot wide shoulders, and huge wide ditches. It's not like something just darts out from the woods, because there are no woods.
You know, I just came from your neck of the woods. I took the twins on an RV trip all the way across the country, and we went to both Dakotas, went to Mount Rushmore, and drove through.
It's wide open.
Yes, it is. And you can see it feels like I could see for miles and miles of prairie. And prairie, there were not a lot of forests. You could just see forever. And at night in the moonlight, you could see forever. And it felt like you were the only one on the road. And I remember looking out. This was this past summer before your cousin passed away. And it felt like you could see because it's flat. And it feels like you can see forever. Like it looks like you can see for miles and miles. And that's why I don't understand that he thought it was a deer.
Well, he says he thought it was a deer. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I've got a whole lot of alarm bells going off in my head as well, because you would think that someone in the position of Attorney General has some sort of not only intelligence but moral compass, and even if he thought it was a deer, might many genuinely caring people just want to follow up to make sure? And also, one other thing, the fact that he accepted the position whilst having no experience. Obviously he had an ambition, self-agenda, wants that position, but if he had a decent moral compass, would he really take it on if he hadn't yet tried a case?
You know, those are all great points. I guess, for instance, judges I practiced in front of, they take a job on the bench. They take the appointment, even though they've never tried a case. And then they count on their law clerk to tell them everything. That's true, Jackie. I hate to tell you that. And that would just burn me up to have a judge tell. Are you jumping in, Nick or Victor?
Oh, this is Victor. I was just going to say, this is a state where the good old boy network runs very deep.
Guys, we're talking about Joe Beaver in the prime of his life. Victor Nimmick gets called to identify a body. To you, Nick Nimmick, cousin of Joe Beaver. So how is it that he laid there in a ditch for 22 hours before his body was found?
Well, they found his body at sometime the next morning. The Attorney General claims he left here at 8 o'clock in the morning and drove back to Highmore, which is about an hour's drive, so that makes it 9 o'clock or a little after. And he claims he found the body then that morning. So the body probably laid in the ditch for 11 hours, and then it laid in the ditch for the rest of the day while they were doing this investigation with traffic detoured around the location. And they didn't call in either Victor or me to identify this body until 8 o'clock the Sunday evening. So that was the 22 hours after the crash that the body was finally positively identified.
Found it interesting also, Nick, that his wife, Joe's wife, said no siren, because I remember growing up in a rural area much like what you're describing, and when we would hear a siren in the distance, which was very rare, we would all stop and say a prayer for wherever they were going and whoever was going to be in that ambulance. Why no siren?
Yeah, good question. Typically, when there's a crash or an accident like that, the sirens sound at the local fire hall to summon the volunteer firefighters and EMTs to come and respond to the call. And there was nothing like that at all that Sunday morning.
To Dr. Catherine Maloney, special guest joining me, the Deputy Chief Medical Examiner, Erie County ME, that's Buffalo, New York. Dr. Catherine Maloney, I've been studying the case. I'm just a JD, you're the MD. And from what I've learned, I've been told that based on these injuries, Mr. Beaver may have been able to been saved.
Well, that would really depend on the nature and severity of the injuries. With a high-speed collision, there's a higher likelihood of having a very severe injury or a fatal injury. But, every case is an individual case, so it really depends on the person. Hopefully, a good forensic pathologist was able to examine Mr. Beaver's body and would be able to perhaps shed some light on how long he potentially could have survived and how long he might have survived.
What do we know about the injuries themselves, Victor?
Nothing. There hasn't been any information released. All I know is that when we viewed the body, it was quite banged up and a lot of damage. And we only viewed, I guess at the time, we could have asked to see the whole body, but I guess I didn't think of it at that time. In my personal opinion, he was probably dead shortly after the impact, but that's just my personal opinion. The head was kind of misshapen, and we only saw one side of the head, and I'm assuming that they kind of positioned the body in the body bag to display the
right
side of the head that was less damaged.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Guys, we were talking about a man in the prime of his life, his wife waiting for him at home. He never makes it. Why? Because the top cop of the state has run him down in the night and kept going. His body lying in the ditch 22 hours. Could he have lived if EMTs had gotten there? We'll never know, will we? to you, Victor. I believe it was you that went to the scene and you were trying to take photos and were told to stop. Is that correct?
That was Nicholas a few days later.
What happened, Nick?
Yeah, I was at the scene of the crash on a highway just outside of Highmore and was kind of looking at the blood stains and the skid marks and trying to wrap my hands around what happened to my cousin. And here, a flatbed truck with a red Ford Taurus with a blown out windshield drove by and went into the South Dakota Department of Transportation highway maintenance shop, which is right within feet of where this accident happened, and went into a garage there, and the garage door came down, and I hopped in my vehicle and followed it into the lot there, and was started getting out of my vehicle to take photographs of that red Ford Taurus with the blown out windshield, and was by three highway patrolmen and some assorted other highway patrol individuals that weren't in official highway patrol uniforms and told to remain in my vehicle. And I've seen enough videos of what happens when people don't do exactly what the cops say, so I stayed in my vehicle and sat there for probably 45 minutes and asked them if I could go in and take a picture, and they refused my request, and I sat and waited, and then eventually asked for permission to leave, and they granted my permission to leave their parking lot.
Did you ever get the picture?
I did not. The photograph was one that it's taken by some anonymous photographer from Highmore. Later on that day, they pulled that vehicle out of that maintenance shed, and it was sitting in the parking lot at that highway maintenance yard, and somebody got a photograph of it, and I'd like to talk to that person, but I have been unable to find out who submitted that to
the local. Sounds like they don't want to be found, to me. Because I've very rarely seen a photo where it doesn't have the name of the photographer under it. I understand that you did a little bit of your own investigation, Nick Nemec. I've got a picture of you that I'm looking at right now where you are out on the street where the incident occurred, and you're pointing to a dried blotch and skid markings. How long were the skid marks?
It was probably 228 feet. I measured it with a tape, 150-foot tape measure, and then there was maybe another 30 feet where you could see that the car had run on the grass at the very edge of the road before the spot where the body probably laid. The day I went out there and I was looking at this was a couple days after the accident, and there was still a pool of blood in the grass right there, and there were black flies flying around this spot on the very edge of the road, 2 foot off the pavement, where I think my cousin probably laid and bled out.
I'm trying to get my mind around what you've just said. Greg Smith, I want you to weigh in on that. James Shelnut as well. Are you telling me, Nick, that there were 228 feet of skid marks after the first sign of blood, or?
No, there was from the point where I think my cousin was hit, there was the tire skid marks began 65 feet after that point, and then the tire skid marks continued on for till 228 feet after the impact location, and then the body was 255 feet from the impact location.
How many feet of skid marks were there before you believe there was impact, before your cousin got hit?
From the point of impact, where I think my cousin was hit, to the first tire skid mark was 65 feet.
So were there skid marks before he was hit?
No. No.
Okay.
There were no skid marks before the impact. The skid marks began after the impact.
To Greg Smith.
So he was hit at full speed.
Special duty sheriff out of Johnson County. Greg, what that says to me, and I'm certainly no accident reconstructionist, but that it sounds like the top cop of South Dakota, Jason Roundsburg, drove at least 200 feet with the victim, Joe Beaver, on the windshield.
What I can say from what I've heard and from what I've read and from hearing what I just heard now, it sounds like the brakes were not applied until after impact, which would indicate that the driver did not see that whatever it was that they struck or were distracted or something was going on to where they weren't paying attention to what was going on in front of them, and then hit the brakes. I mean, it's automatic when we hit something. That's usually what we do. There's a reaction time that it takes for our foot to go from accelerator to brake and all that, and there's a lot of math that's involved in that. But without, if the skid marks happen after impact, that would indicate to me that they did not see or didn't see until the very last second that something was there. But I don't know. I mean, I've only seen pictures of the scene.
I agree with you. Now that I know, based on what Nick, what he saw, I think that the skid marks didn't start until impact. But my question is what I'm getting at, James Shelnut. Let me try you on this one. And I agree with what Greg Smith is saying. How long was the victim on the windshield before he fell off into the ditch? But Roundsburg still said it was a deer.
You know, that's hard to know.
Well, of course it's hard to know. That's why I've got you on the panel.
Yeah, it's hard to know. Look, here's a couple of possibilities, okay? And I don't know why, you know, the statement has been made that that's where he was hit. It's possible he was hit before these brakes occurred. But if he was hit before the brakes were applied, then at that point, if his body traveled 200 and something feet past where the car came to a stop, that's what I'm understanding was said a second ago, then he would have rode on the windshield of that car likely for about 3.5 to 4.5 seconds. And then being ejected off the windshield and probably flung forward. That is down and dirty math. That is without having the luxury of going back to the scene, measuring things.
You better get out your Texas instrument because I'm coming back to you.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Stories with Nancy Grace. Guys, we're talking about a man in the prime of his life, mowed down, literally mowed down on a public highway by none other than the state top cop, who says he thought he hit a deer. The man lay in a ditch 21 hours. Now, I want to go back to you, Nick Nimick. I'm trying to, just like Greg Smith and just like James Sheldon, I'm trying to understand the numbers. So how far did the skid marks go before that's where your cousin landed?
Well, there was actually multiple. It's even more gruesome, Nancy. There was blood skid marks on the highway that ran parallel with tire skid marks. So by my measurements, the first blood skid mark on the highway was 140 feet from the first tire skid mark. So the tire skid marks were going for about 140 feet, and then there was this blood skid mark that was actually two parallel blood skid marks, but one was 6 inches wide and one was maybe a foot wide.
But what does that mean? Was your cousin being dragged by the car? How did the blood get on the pavement?
My theory is that my cousin broke out the windshield, was partially inside the cab of that car for a time. As the attorney general slammed on his brakes, my cousin became dislodged from the windshield, slid down the hood of that car, and fell on the highway, and was then drug underneath that car or pushed along in front of that car for a period of time. By my measurements, over 70 feet, 74 feet.
Why take so long to come to a stop? How fast was he going?
Well, we don't know. The area where it happened was just feet into a 65 mile an hour speed limit zone. He had just exited a 45 mile an hour speed limit zone. I doubt 2011 Ford Taurus could accelerate in the few hundred feet available from 45 to 65, so I think that attorney general was speeding.
Another issue is that the car has to be processed on the inside. To Dr. Catherine Maloney, Deputy Chief Medical Examiner, Erie County ME in Buffalo, you just heard Nick Nimick describing the hole in the windshield on the passenger side, in the front windshield. If the victim had partially been in that car, gone through the windshield, what forensic evidence would you expect to see inside the AG's red Taurus?
Well, you would definitely expect to see blood and possibly epithelial cells. And those would definitely be on the windshield where the body went through. But if you saw them on the inside too, that could lead you to believe that perhaps the body might have been lodged inside the car, which would mean that perhaps it was removed after the fact. So it might have been stuck in there, for example.
Epithelial cells, you mean skin cells? Right.
So anytime you touch anything, you exchange your DNA.
Correct.
So anytime I touch something, I leave a little piece of myself on what I've touched.
So you'd be looking for blood, hair, fiber evidence off of a shirt, or epithelial cells, which are skin cells. And if those are inside the attorney general's car, what would that mean to you, Dr. Maloney?
Depending on their location, it could mean that the body had traveled. It would mean that the body would have to have been removed from the car, as opposed to just sort of striking the windshield and bouncing off. It could mean
Got
the
it.
Body was lodged in
to,
the windshield.
To you, Nick Nimick, do you believe the body of your cousin was actually partially inside the AG's car?
You know, I can't say for certain, Nancy, but what I can say for certain is that body hit the ground in front of the car 181 feet from what I think is probably the impact, and either pushed along in front of that car or underneath that car for another 74 feet.
To Victor Nemec, the other cousin of Joe Beaver, joining us today. It's my understanding that the attorney general says he used his flashlight app on his cell phone to look for what he thought was a dead or injured deer. The sheriff also made a cursory inspection before focusing on returning Roundsburg back to Pierre. Why does that stick in your craw? Volek had been the county sheriff for many years. Do you think he should have conducted a better search?
Yes, I do. Here's the thing about driving in South Dakota. It's not uncommon to hit a deer. If you live in this state or any state in this area, everybody knows someone that has hit a deer. I've hit deer before. I've hit deer at nighttime. And the split second before you hit the deer, you go, oh, my God, that's a deer, and you hit the brakes. And I've seen many vehicles that have hit deer, and there's one thing that's common amongst all of them is there's deer hair on the car. Whether they've smashed into the windshield or not, there's always deer hair on the car. And for something to go through that windshield, if it was a deer, the edges of that windshield would have been surrounded by deer hair everywhere. Deer hair and deer flesh and deer manure. So that's like investigative processes for beginners to be able to identify a deer hit. I mean, anyone that's in law enforcement in South Dakota should be able to see that immediately.
Take a listen to our friends Brad Mallory and Angela Konecki at Kilo Land News.
6 days after a deadly crash involving South Dakota's attorney general, the Department of Public Safety spokesman says there are no updates on the investigation.
Authorities from three states are looking into the Saturday night crash near Highmore. If they determine Jason Roundsburg did anything illegal, the spokesman says the Hyde County State's attorney would be the one to file the charges. Roundsburg has made national headlines after claiming to hit a deer with his car and then discovering he killed a man the next morning. Governor Kristi Noem has said that the state can expect an extra level of transparency and accountability in this case. The spokesman says investigations like these take time and there is no word on when the public will get an update.
Interesting. To Sierra Gillespie, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter, has there been an update?
Actually, Nancy, no, there has not been an update at all. Since we first did this story about a month ago, I did some more research, looked into things, and there's nothing. Basically, all we hear from investigators is that this is a lengthy process. We want to make sure that we're doing it correctly. We want to dot all our I's and cross our T's and make sure we're getting everything done. But what we do know is that they have enlisted outside of state investigators to come and help, so there's no conflict of interest, so they say. So I believe it's North Dakota investigators who are helping with this investigation.
Just everything shrouded in mystery is a concern for me. You just heard the government stating that there was going to be transparency, but when Beaver's cousin shows up to take a picture of the AG's wrecked car, he's told he couldn't. And then finally, after waiting over an hour, left. An anonymous picture was then taken that clearly shows the Attorney General Jason Roundsburg's car crashed in, the windshield crashed in, that is, on the front passenger side. Is there blood, hair, fiber, skin evidence of the victim inside the AG's car? Because if there is no way in H-E-double-L he did not know he hit a man. To Victor Nemec, called to identify his cousin's body, how is Mr. Beaver's wife at this point?
Well, she lost her husband. She's broken up, just trying to figure out how to get through life right now. I mean, that's about all we can say for her. She's just as mad as and angry as all of us about not being able to get any information. This state has covered up scandals many times in the past. And this is, I believe, for the officials in the state, it's just another scandal that they have to cover up. And I believe right now they're just trying to wait it out. If they wait long enough before releasing evidence, then the
general
public
will. Do they really think we're
going
to forget it? Do they really think that?
Well, when it's a state that's been run by the same political party for decade upon decade upon decade, it just, I mean, that's what happens. It's the good old boy network. And,
well, guess what? Not everybody's part of the good old boy network.
Yeah.
We did invite the AG Raunsberger to be on with us today, but his people responded. He was not commenting due to an ongoing investigation. We wait as justice unfolds. Nancy Grace, Crime Story, signing off. Goodbye, friend.
Become a part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry with an education from Trinity School of Natural Health. Trinity graduates can empower their communities through natural health principles and techniques, whether they go into practice to guide others toward their wellness goals or open a store to sell their favorite health products. Trinity grads are equipped to change lives. With 19 online programs and flexibility to fit your busy schedule, including the popular Certified Natural Health Professional, you can get the training that helps you turn your passion into a career. And here's the best part. You can earn the certification in less than a year. From herbology to naturopathy and health coaching, Trinity allows you to make a meaningful difference by helping others live healthier, happier lives. Don't wait any longer to pursue your passion for natural health. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road, but if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.